John's Gospel, please, and the third chapter. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. May God bless His own precious word to our hearts tonight. We'll bow for a word of prayer, please, before we come to the Lord's word tonight. Let us all pray. Father, we thank Thee again for the blessings of being in the house of God tonight. It is a joy to return and to spend our Lord's Day with Thee. We're thankful for the privilege of singing these hymns, which are testimonies of our faith, which glorify the Lord God in the words that they speak. Our Father, we ask Thee now that Thou wilt write Thy precious word upon every heart here. Speak to us, Lord, for oftentimes we are very dull of hearing, and our spirits are very slow to understand. But we pray that every distraction will be removed from this service, that everything that would come to cause our thoughts to wander away, maybe to the situation of tomorrow or some problem of yesterday, Lord, take them all away, we pray, and help us just to focus our attention upon the things of God this night here for the time we have left. We pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to work in the hearts of those who are uncertain about their eternal destiny, those who are not certain about their relationship with the Lord. Father, speak to their hearts tonight. Bring souls to Christ, we ask. Save precious, never dying souls. Encourage the hearts of every one of Thy people. We might thank Thee again for Thy so great salvation. And as we've been singing this night, salvation, full salvation, it is the gift and the work of God's grace. Bless us now, we pray, and I ask Thee, Lord, to help me to speak Thy word in faithfulness and truth. I pray that Thou wilt fill me with Thy Holy Spirit. Lord, answer our prayers now. We ask this in our Savior's precious name. Amen. This portion of the Word of God is familiar to every Christian. Everyone who has come through Sunday school and who has spent any time on the Christian road would have read the Gospel of John, and they would be familiar with this portion. One of the reasons we decided to distribute the Gospel of John to our community and to our friends is because it contains so many familiar passages. Chapter 3, of course, contains the most familiar passage in the Bible of John chapter 16, or chapter 3, rather, in verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And so when we think about this portion of Scripture, we're dealing with the topic of the new birth, about what it means to be born again of the Spirit of God. And this portion of Scripture, it really gives to us an edge when we're dealing with someone about their need of Christ, about their relationship with God, and about the reality of knowing what it is to be born again of God's Spirit. Because here the Lord was dealing with a man, Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a man who was a Pharisee, a member of the Sanhedrin, a senator, a man who had authority in Jerusalem. And the Lord comes to tell him, you have need of something in your life. And the something that this man needed was the new birth. He needed to understand what it was to be born again. This man, Nicodemus, had to be reconciled to God. He had to be reconciled, which means he had to be joined to his Father in heaven, to the God of creation. At the point when he was speaking with Christ, he was not reconciled with God. It's very evident by what Jesus was talking about. And it introduces the whole question about, well, this man had religion. This man was at the very top of his religious organization. He had everything that could be obtained if a man was going to get into heaven by a religious association. Nicodemus had everything. And yet, he was ignorant of what it was to really know God in a personal way. So that when we introduce the Lord to our friends, to unsaved people, we don't introduce them to a church or to a denomination. We introduce them to the person of Jesus Christ. Because Christianity is all about a person. It is not about an organization. So as we come to endeavor to be faithful in presenting our Savior to a lost world, we're bringing and introducing them to the Son of God. Nicodemus is representative of so many, many people in the world today. So many people who think that they are on the right track, who think that they have everything that they need. And so when he starts off his little speech of introducing himself to the Lord, he says, he came to the Lord by night. Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except he be sent from God. And the Lord stopped him right there. He said, Nicodemus, in verse 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is impossible for you, Nicodemus, with all your religion, to come into God's presence unless you understand what it means to be born again. Well, this is possibly the first time that this man had ever heard such a term as this. And it really puzzled him. It puzzled him because he turns and asks the Lord,
How can a man be born again? How can he, is it possible, is he to enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Something that is so ludicrous for an educated man to ask a question.
We would almost hear the Lord saying to him, Nicodemus, it would not matter if you were born 100 times.
And you had 100 opportunities. To be born into this world and have 100 fresh starts to your life, knowing as much as you have known from every life you've ever lived, and trying to add on to that. Well, I made some mistakes in the last life. I'm not going to make the same mistakes again. It wouldn't matter how many times you were born into this world in the flesh or in the natural sense, because you are corrupt in your heart. There is a problem, a deep-rooted problem of sin in the heart of human beings. And that sinful nature is that which corrupts our thinking. It corrupts our spirit. In fact, we are dead in our trespasses and our sin. We cannot possess eternal life in the flesh and with a fleshly knowledge.
The Lord said to Nicodemus that day, unless you have the thing that you are presently missing, unless you are born again by the Spirit of God, you cannot see the kingdom of the Lord. And perhaps at that statement, Nicodemus could have been offended
because he was involved in what he thought was the kingdom of God. He had
every vestige and everything on the outward that would indicate if anyone is going to heaven, that man is going to heaven. And I have heard people, even relatives, who have said to me, well, if anyone is good enough to go to heaven, I am. Speaking about themselves.
And that's the natural thinking of man, self-righteous, putting forward what they believe is their own righteousness before a holy God and saying, I'm going to get there, and if anyone's going to get there, I will because of my own goodness. And Nicodemus, this man, had everything going for him, but he was lacking something. He did not have peace in his heart, obviously, for he came to seek out the Lord Jesus and to ask him some very important questions. And the most important one about his eternal condition. He was very, very curious. And as the Lord begins to unfold to him the word of truth, and Christ is saying to him, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And the Lord then explains to him in verse 5, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit.
He says in the 5th verse, there are 2 births, one by water and one the new birth. And then he identifies what he means by that in the 6th verse, for he said the first birth, the one of them, is of the flesh, and the second one is of the Spirit.
Some people confuse the 5th verse where it says born of water and associating some kind of baptismal regeneration with that verse. It doesn't mean that at all. And the next verse identifies what Christ was really meaning. Unless you are born of the flesh, you are born physically first of all, and then you are born spiritually, you will understand what it is to be on the road to heaven. Each one of us who are born in this world in a natural or physical sense are born of the flesh. We have the nature of Adam in our lives. We are
sinful by nature because Adam sinned in the very first transgression. We do not blame Adam as if it's all his fault and not our fault. He was a representative for the human race. And we sinned in Adam and we fell in him, and therefore we are under the curse of sin today. We are of the flesh. The Lord says to him in verse 7 and in the 8th verse, "Marvel not." Don't be shocked at what I'm saying to you, Nicodemus. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. It is the working of the Spirit of God in a person's life that will bring them and open their understanding to see, I need to be saved. It is that operation of the Holy Spirit. And the Lord tells him in the 8th verse, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth." Listen, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. Christ is saying to him here, there is something is absolutely essential if a man is going to be born again. It is the operation of the Holy Spirit upon that one's life. And so how the Lord Jesus Christ is exalting the ministry and the work of the third person of the Trinity, of the Spirit of God. And He is exalting and saying, unless the Spirit of God is working upon your life and in your life, you cannot understand and know what it is to be born again. I want you to think with me as we look at the 8th verse tonight. I want you to think with me first of all about the moving or the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. For it tells us there that the wind bloweth where it listeth. We have been thinking a lot the last while about the effect of the wind, the hurricanes that have so ravaged the south. It was just about a year ago that Ivan went through and laid such havoc upon Haiti and upon Jamaica, and we were very concerned for our mission down there. And then, of course, the devastation we're talking about recently with this Hurricane Rita. In our society today, we're spending a lot of money, millions of dollars, on very sophisticated equipment to try and determine the patterns of weather. Offices are set up across the country to trace and predict the weather patterns, to see if they can predict where the next hurricane is going to strike, where the next severe thunderstorm is going to hit. These things are so heavily influenced by the wind. And if only these meteorological offices and people could determine how is the wind going to be blowing next week, then we could find out where the next hurricane is going to be striking. And they're hoping, by mapping out all these patterns, that they can tell just exactly where the next storm is going to strike. From what direction will it come? And with what severity will it come? But oftentimes the storm just seems to arise and it catches people off guard. And it strikes. In the Scripture, the wind is attributed to God. It is attributed to God, and therefore we have to say that it is the sovereign hand of God that directs these forces of nature which are so great and so powerful. In Psalm 107, we are told, "For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof." Psalm 135, "He bringeth the wind out of his treasuries. And again, he causeth the wind to blow and the waters flow.
These things are all evidences and proofs to us that God is the one who directs the wind in a natural sense in our physical world. And the wind has so many purposes in our weather, so many positive things. When we see the force and the power of it and the devastation that it can bring, and man is completely helpless because he doesn't know which way it's going to blow next. This is exactly how the Lord likens the Spirit of God. And he directs our attention with that very proof in the 8th verse, "The wind bloweth where it listeth." The wind blows. And its seeming unpredictability, and of the moving of the Spirit of God, there is something unpredictable. You can't map it out. You cannot determine how or where the Lord's Spirit is going to move. It is interesting that the word for wind in our text is the word pneuma. And we draw from that the English word pneumatic. And it also is the meaning of the word breath or air. And it's used frequently for the word spirit. And so the Holy Spirit is referred to as the breath of God. The breath of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not an influence or a force. He is not something that is without characteristics. But the Spirit of God is a person. And the Bible will bring that out in many, many verses of the character of personality of the Spirit of the Lord. The third person of the Trinity. He has a will. He determines. He chooses which path he will take. And you notice the word listeth. You may not have understood what that word means. It is an old English word that we would not use today. It is a word that means a will or a purpose. So the wind bloweth where it determines or where it wills. And it doesn't mean that the wind has a personality of itself in the physical sense. It simply is an expression or a term. The wind is just blowing and it seems to be blowing and you can't determine where it's going as if it has a will of its own. But the Lord very specifically likens this to the Holy Spirit, who most certainly has a will. And the Holy Spirit moves as He determines, where He purposes, where He intends. And this underlines to us the sovereignty of the Spirit of God. Because when the Holy Spirit moves upon a soul in regeneration, it is a sovereign act. It's as if he is moving according to his own way, his own plan. He blows where he desires, and no outward action can influence the Spirit of the Lord. You know, no amount of religious observance or of bribery, no amount of trying to impress God can cause his Spirit to move. It is the sovereign act of God. And no city is so strong that it can keep out the Spirit of God. There is no place that is so deep and dark that the Holy Ghost cannot go to. There is no town that is too small or no fortress that is too strong. The Spirit of God finds out a man wherever he is. Finds out a woman wherever she is. And sometimes it pleases the Lord not just to work in a church environment that we're in here, although we pray and hope that the Lord uses His Word in this venue, but God often moves in the tavern, where the person is there drinking himself drunk. And then it's some verse of Scripture that comes back to them that they learned in Sunday school. Something that's impressed upon their heart or mind.
It may be the movie house. It may be some other den of iniquity. Maybe it's the jail, the prison, or maybe it's the gutter where the person has stumbled over on their way home from their partying. The Spirit of God is able to go into the very biggest mansion and down into the very lowest form of poverty. He uses different seasons and different circumstances. And the Lord is not going to be restricted by our own human conditions. For He is the Spirit of God. And He will go where He desires and where He wills. And He will use the means that He will. And He reveals to us the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, this is the determined plan that the Spirit of God operates by. And the Lord Jesus made that known to us in John 14, 15, and 16, where He was teaching about the working of the Spirit of God. And the purpose of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, is to reveal Jesus Christ to a sinful and a lost world. And so that the Holy Spirit works in different places and under different conditions, but He is working to a plan and to a purpose. And He is working to reveal Jesus Christ to sinful men and women. I wonder, friend, have you heeded that leading of God's Spirit in your own life? Have you heeded the invitation to come to Christ? Could we move on, secondly, please, and look at the mystery of the Holy Spirit? For it says in our text, "And thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth." You've heard the sound of a train at nighttime in the distance. And if you're not familiar with the area that you're in, you may look in that direction because it sounds like it's coming from there. And you'll look over in that direction. You think it's coming from, you're not sure where it's coming from, because it's off in the distance. You hear the sound, but you cannot tell where it's coming. And the same applies when you look up into the sky and you see a plane, or you don't see it rather, and you hear the sound of it, a jet that's high up. You may even see the trail, but you can't tell which direction it's coming from. And you know, the Spirit of God is sometimes moving in one direction. And maybe He comes at a person from this way and He is speaking a voice. He's speaking a word through a gospel tract. Maybe He comes from another direction and He speaks to the person through the death of a loved one. And oh, that voice is very strong and you cannot tell how the Spirit of God is going to move and which direction He's coming from. It may be from the audible presentation of the Word of God, as like here tonight. But it may be that He moves in some way and you cannot tell. It's a mystery. My friend, the Word of God indicates that what the Spirit will do and what His work is namely to reveal our Lord Jesus to a sinful world. And that's what we could say is the plan. It is the main purpose. But it's a mystery. You cannot tell how God's Spirit is going to move in the life of someone. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 5 and 11, "Thou knowest not the way of the Spirit." We are able to witness the evidence of the Spirit's work. We can see a person who has been under conviction of sin. We know that God is working in the heart of that person. And it's similar to the evidence we see from the wind that blows. You cannot see the wind, but you see the evidence of the wind. And we see the evidence of the working of God's Spirit in the hearts of people when they're under conviction of sin. And yet, If we were to try and contain that working of God's Spirit, we would find it's beyond our realm. And this is one of the dangerous things that happen when God's Spirit is moving to revive the people of God. And in the revivals that have occurred in the past, we have learned quickly how that they have been quenched and they have been stopped because people try to organize God. They try to map out the working of His Spirit instead of allowing the Holy Spirit to do His work. And we have to be careful about that. God's Spirit and the moving of His Spirit is a mystery. We hear the sound, we see the evidence, but we cannot tell. It is hidden from man. Because it says in the Scriptures that the secret things belong unto the Lord. But that's not the way man likes to operate. For us, seeing is believing. And so it is the glory of a man to be able to search out a matter and find out a mystery. He doesn't like to have things that are left secret. God's thoughts and ways are beyond our thoughts, beyond our ways. And it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. The Lord moves by His own sovereign counsel. When a man or a woman comes under the conviction of sin, he may know nothing of the Holy Spirit's person. May know nothing about the Bible or about Christianity, really. And it's a mystery to him. He doesn't know what is happening to my life, to my heart. But it's the work of God. And it's the Lord who is working on the life of that person. And friend, maybe you have found yourself in that position tonight. Maybe God is working on your heart. You're not a Christian. You're not a saved man or woman. But the Lord has been dealing with your heart. And you have been more aware of your own eternal condition. You become more aware of the frailty of human flesh. Maybe you are afraid to die because you don't know where you're going after death. All of these things are the revelation and a manifestation of the Spirit of God who's working in your heart. My friend, don't push those things out of your life. Don't try to cover them over with some kind of distraction in this world. Pray that God would reveal more of His purpose and His way in your life and to show you what He is trying to say to you. Have you experienced this working and moving of the Holy Spirit in your life? He wants to bring you to the point of showing you the reality of the person of Jesus Christ and of your utter and complete helplessness before God to do anything to merit His salvation. The Spirit of God is trying to lead you down to see you must be born again if you're going to see God's kingdom. People have been in meetings just like this. They have been under conviction of sin. But they have resisted the Holy Spirit. They have said no to God. I don't want at this time to surrender my life to Christ. I don't want to give in. And yet when they take such a position, beware. We are told in the book of Genesis, my Spirit shall not always strive with men. And it may be that God's Spirit is working on your heart. He is convicting you of sin. He's giving another opportunity to get right with God. And yet, no, you're saying, you're pushing Him away. You're saying, not now, Lord. My friend, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so, when we think about the mystery of the moving of God's Spirit, we see also in this the manifestation of the Holy Spirit's moving. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. For every person that is born again of the Spirit of God has come under the influence and the power of God's Spirit. A man cannot be born again otherwise. Why is that?
because it takes the supernatural working of God Himself to awaken a man that is dead in his sin and trespasses. And outside of Christ, we are all completely dead in our sin. And therefore, we need to have the life that is given by the Holy Ghost. He needs to come and regenerate us, to give us life. And when the Holy Ghost gives us life and breathes into our spirit and we become alive, then we see the beauty of Christ Jesus. We see that He is our only hope, our only Savior, our only joy, our only satisfaction. And it's the Holy Spirit who works in our lives and reveals these things to us. When we talk about the working of the Holy Ghost, we sometimes think about that which is called common grace. And then there's common or ordinary grace and specific grace or special grace. Those things are often confused, but God the Spirit exerts His common grace in all the world every day, throughout every moment of the day. For the world is kept on its course and on track, and governments and countries are running and organizing. And if it was not for the common grace of God, all of humanity would just disintegrate into chaos. No, God keeps His hand upon this world. The Spirit of God is exerting His influence in a common way across all of creation, continually. But then there is the special grace of God. It is that special and effectual working of the Lord. For He speaks to a man. He convicts him of his sin. And He says to him, Christ is the only way. And He reveals to his mind the person of the Lord Jesus. And that man, that woman, that young person is born again of the Spirit of God. We were singing maybe a new hymn to some of you tonight in 291. And what tremendous words. Salvation, O my soul, rejoice. Salvation is of God. He speaks, and that almighty voice proclaims His grace abroad. The almighty voice of the Holy Spirit that speaks. Is the Lord speaking to your heart tonight? Is the Holy Ghost convicting you of your sin? Maybe you're a Christian and you've wandered away from God. Maybe you're a backslider and the Lord is drawing you back into fellowship with Him. And He's convicting you of things in your life, of things that you've been doing or people you've been associating with, and you know it's not right and you shouldn't be doing it, but you find it so difficult to leave those things. My friends, heed the drawing influence of the Holy Spirit in your life. For He is gently leading you back to Christ, back to fellowship with God, back to that sweet and intimate communion with your Savior. Where is that blessedness I knew, wrote William Cooper. When once I saw the Lord, once I was in fellowship with Christ, where is that blessedness, that joy? It seems to have gone. Now pray that the Lord would renew and restore unto us the joy of His salvation. If, my friend, you are outside of Christ tonight and you don't know Him, where you're sitting right now, it is a simple prayer of just saying, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. Come, Lord, and forgive me of my sin and lead me to an understanding of who Jesus Christ really is. And if you simply pray that prayer in the bottom of your heart and from your heart, the Lord will hear. And the Lord will answer, and you will know the beginning of everlasting life and of true
and real joy and peace.